seeking collaborations with influential people? At GZPR, we create passion-fueled collaborations that go beyond traditional representation. A performance agency that onboards new clients every month. Our focus is on POC collaborations. Contact us now at hellogzpr.com, a self-aware public relations agency exploring world perspectives with leading talents. Hello and welcome. My name is Tiffany Farag and welcome to Get to Know You Cafe. Why is knowing another person deeply important? In an age where superficial interactions dominate our lives, the ability to authentically connect with others is becoming increasingly rare and invaluable. If you would like to master the art of getting to know others, take a look at our course or our one-to-one coaching. Link is available in the show description. In my mission to open conversations and access deeper dialogue, I wanted to hear from you. Listeners of last week's question and discussion. Last week, Chanel Braymont and I discussed the question, why is long distance dating a waste of time? We received a number of responses that further deepened dialogue. Today, I'll be discussing the episode and the responses that we received. Firstly, I'd like to say a big thank you to Chanel for coming on the podcast. What an amazing conversation that was. And I know people were intrigued by the title of the episode and the conversation and where it went. And it's actually such a beautiful, it's quite interesting that Chanel's book about, it's all about long distance dating, which I thought was incredibly beautiful. And yeah, it was definitely an interesting conversation. Made me think throughout the discussion. And, so at some points you're in there thinking, nah, long distance dating is not possible. And then at other moments you're like, well, you know what? It requires, I think, a certain personality type. It requires a level of effort, a level of wanting to put in the work. And I think it comes down to somebody who's willing to put in the work for themselves, and they have been for, they've been, daily putting in effort for themselves, then that person has the capability, in my opinion, to make that effort for a relationship, or, has a possibility. So it really just comes down to, I think, people, what's important to people, what's important in the relationships, what does a relationship mean to you? What is dating? Like, I had this conversation recently about, like, what is your definition of dating? Like, that's different from person to person. Like, what does that even mean? And I'm not talking about sex. Like, you can have sex with people, or people can have, without, you're not dating them. So it's like, what's your definition of dating? I think that's something we should all think about. And then what's your definition of relationship? Relationships now, I think, look quite different for many different people. It's like what works for you. And it's even if you have a variation of a type of relationship that may be considered not traditional, there are still things that you're comfortable with and things that you're not comfortable with. And it's still management of your jealousy, management of your expectations, management of all these kinds of things with the person that you're in a relationship with and what that definition means to both of you. So it's really all about, even if you're in a monogamous relationship, like, what does that mean? Varies from person to person. I think we need to actually speak more about that. And like, it's not a given, the person in front of you is, you think, oh, traditionally this is how all relationships are. That doesn't mean anything. You need to really, no one can read your mind. You need to have these kinds of conversations and understand what's the other person's expectations, what are their wants, what are your wants, what are your needs, and is that, can you both meet each other's needs and wants and are on the same page? So, yeah, it's definitely something, a bigger discussion than I think some people think. So we had some lovely responses. Thank you so much, everybody, for sending in your responses, being part of this community, being part of these conversations. It's absolutely incredible that we have this community, and I'm so grateful every day that we've been able to create this. This cafe is more yours than it is mine, honestly. Thank you so much from all the questions and perspectives that have come in from all around the world. Today I'll be reading three, one from California, one from India, and one from Belgium. So our first one is from Sophia from California. Sophia said, sometimes there are people who are always in long distance relationships and are emotionally unavailable. There is a safety associated with the avoidant attachment type. Absolutely. I think so, Sophia. Like, I think You know, I think I heard it, actually heard it on a discussion. There was one, I think maybe an actress of some sort, or maybe, I don't know exactly what this person did, but this person was discussing that they have always been in long distance relationships. And the guest, the host that was talking with us, like, yeah, I was too until I saw my therapist and realized that I was emotionally unavailable and had, you know, an avoidant attachment type. And then it shifted what I wanted or how I wanted to be in relationships. So yeah, I definitely think there's an association with possibly people being emotionally unavailable and who handle or would rather be in long distance relationships, because it requires maybe a short period of vulnerability in their perspective. Again, it's what your definition of a relationship is or what your expectations are. So maybe it's like, all right, I only need to be, you know, vulnerable or we're talking or, you know, for this period of time, but you're not seen, maybe you don't show or want to show your that, you know, the different types of you. Not different types of you, but more you're not showing the depths and levels of who you are. Like there's all levels of us. Like we don't show up the same every day. Like, you know, there's more like excited Tiffany and like playful Tiffany, and then there's also serious Tiffany, and then there's vulnerable Tiffany, and then there's sad Tiffany and angry Tiffany. Like all of those shades of me in and there's obviously so much more of that, won't show up. You know, if in long distance, you don't, if you want to show the person, it's you're actively putting that work in. And again, not everybody will want to show all of those things of them. A lot of the time, it just comes up because there's a, you know, a trigger or a moment or something happens. And a lot of these emotions, you become more vulnerable naturally because you're able to maybe show you're spending more time with the person physically. You show more of these things and they see more of these things. Not because of your intentionality to show it to them. It's just they're there, and so something happens. But yeah, so I think definitely for people who are emotionally unavailable, long distance relationship might be like, yes, this is perfect for me. Or again, it's helpful for people who are not in monogamous relationships. It works well for them. But again, it just depends on who's on the other end and what that looks like. I think for the attachment type, for the avoidant attachment type, that will work well. But usually you know, people are a mixture of an anxious and avoidant, or an anxious and secure, or avoidant and secure at times. So really, yeah, it really depends on what you're willing or what you're wanting the other person to see. I think there's a depth of like how close you want to be to somebody. Like I always, my theory of it all is like, this is like, so let's say the middle line is like the most intense closeness or depth you can have of love for a person. And some people, however close you are to that line, you know, and it needs to kind of not, you know, it needs to be aligned, or our needs and wants, you know, what you're willing to give is what the other person wants to receive, and what you need is what the other person's willing to give. So it's like figuring and understanding where you both sit on that. Otherwise, there's like this level of resentment that sits in. Thank you so much, Sophia. Our second response is from Ivan from India. What is the difference between long distance relationships versus lack of presence? Great question there, Ivan. I think sometimes people consider or think long distance means a person isn't present, and I don't agree with that. I think if you want to be present, you can be present in someone's life. Like I feel I have friends all over the world, and I'm present in their life. Like I know, you know, what's happening. I know we know when they're low. When I encourage them to talk to me at different moments in their lives, not when they're happy or they have good news. Like when things are shit or when things are whatever's going on. Like, you know, let's talk. Let's always have that openness, and we know we can always call a number. And you know, the other person, if they're obviously in a meeting or something, they can't, but they'll call you back as soon as they're finished or doing what they're doing. Like I think being not present in somebody's life is very different to long distance relationships. Like you can be, there's a lack of presence in person who's living, you know, you're living with, and people feel alone all the time. You have all these relationships where people don't feel connected with their partner who sleeps in the same bed as them, and they've had been with them for 10 years. So it really just depends, I think, on, you know, presence is definitely not associated with long distance relationships. And yeah, your level of presence will vary from person to person. Sometimes people are like, oh, your physical presence, I want you there, but then emotional, mental presence, they're not there. Like people, like I think what's your definition of presence? Like that varies from person to person too. Like I know some people who are like, I just want you to sit near me. You can be doing your own thing, but just be sitting near me or working in the same space. And that's fine for some moments. And other people are like, oh, hang on. Presence is you not sitting on your phone, and presence is you speaking to me and like listening to me and hearing me. So really, what's your definition of presence? Thank you so much, Ivan. And our third response is from Mersel from Belgium. Mersel said, you mentioned how long distance will allow someone to be more vulnerable sooner. Why do you think that is? Well, great question there, Marcel. Yes, I did mention that. I mentioned that when I attempted that, I think I was more vulnerable sooner, like deep, deep vulnerability, so sooner than I am or have been face-to-face. Like I think people, not everyone, like I've had a few conversations about this where some people are able to be even vulnerable with friends. Like how many of you have not cried in front of your friends? Right? Like I think very few friends have seen me physically face-to-face cry. Others maybe have heard me cry on the phone, but more face-to-face, it's very few. Like I think I can talk about vulnerability, talk about being sad. Showing vulnerability is a different thing. So imagine like showing vulnerability in a relationship, I think is much harder romantically to show that vulnerability. And I think a lot of us like struggle with that, including myself, like showing that I'm getting better slowly, slowly, something I'm always working on. But something like it just with friends, like letting friends see, or if there's a moment, letting friends see me in different ways, not just talking about it and not showing anything. So yeah, definitely long distance in ways, or on the phone, like I said, talking or crying on the phone to a friend or something like that can be done. I don't know, you're in the same space of your own space, but talk when you see that friend afterwards, maybe they know how to comfort you, or you can able to say what you need or what's going on. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely something that I think we all need to work on. And sometimes, yeah, vulnerability, you can be more vulnerable when you're speaking on the phone. And some people find they're vulnerable, or they're able to, you know, say what they need or want through writing it down. So it really just depends on, you know, trying to understand what the other person on the other end needs and wants. And this is about all their relationships, not just romantically, because like long distance friendships, well, long distance relationship, your friendships are also long distance. So how do you manage those? Like, how do you maintain those? How do you maintain presence in each other's lives? So these are all things I think we can all think about. Yeah, thank you so much, everybody, for sending these great responses. Always interesting hearing these different responses and people adding to the conversation. And I always say, you know, these different questions have nothing to do with intellect. It's all a matter of we all have different experiences that come from different backgrounds and cultures and have different ways of thinking. And, you know, once we hear a question, it opens up a space in our mind. It allows us to gain perspective. It allows us to understand ourselves better, and in turn, understand those around us better. So thank you so much, everybody, for sending in all these questions and perspectives and being part of this cafe episode. Looking forward to next week's Get to Know You Cafe. Thank you for listening to Get to Know You Cafe. If you enjoyed this podcast, rate, review, and share the podcast on Facebook or Instagram. You can tag me at Get to Know You Podcast. Be sure to listen to Tuesday's podcast and send in your responses for us to include next Thursday on the Get to Know You Cafe to further deepen dialogue on this topic. If you have any topics you would like us to discuss, be sure to tag me in a post with your question. Join us every Thursday on the Get to Know You Cafe.